I have to say, to start off, it's been really nice to have you here, man.
Oh, that's no problem, man.
You know, by the time this comes out, I mean, they won't, it's gonna be January when this comes out, so it's gonna be very interesting once, to hear like the perspective of what we talk about today and see where it is, like,
Yeah.
so I'm it's fun, man. It was really nice to have you here, but what's up, Dabs?
Not a whole lot, man. Trying to live the dream. You know how that is.
Yeah, we don't have Gio here today, unfortunately, but he'll be back. He'll be back. And so who I have here today is one of my closest friends in such a short time. He does He's a co-host for BRVG. He's a cannabis enthusiast. He leveled with the same music that I do, video games, and I mean, we're gonna get into all that today, but introduce yourself, man.
So my name is Chris. I go by Dabs. Strange Dabs is my handle on Instagram, and I'm now on Threads, which is Instagram's version of Twitter. Same thing with my YouTube and my Twitch. It's Strange Dabs Gaming. There's no G at the end, so it's Gamin. But yeah, I'm a gamer. I do a lot of cannabis and cannabis stuff. I do a lot of research on that. I am an enthusiast, as some would say. Same thing with pro wrestling. I'm a huge pro wrestling person. But yeah.
That's good, man. And it's funny you said Threads.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that for a second. Because we saw the downfall, Twitter, X,
X, yeah.
whatever. I mean, it's probably going to be called something else soon.
Soon.
Yeah, it's and it's very interesting because like I just recently got I got hacked on my account.
Oh, shit.
I was trying I a couple when I started I got a little enthusiastic over the AI art thing,
Right.
and I started testing the waters with crypto. And
Okay.
I tried to get into the NFT, started to get that stuff. So I got a little excited. So I guess something happened in between there that my account got hacked by something or someone that was doing OpenSea stuff and was spamming stuff on my
Oh
account
shit.
and banned my account, and I haven't been able to fix it. And I haven't even tried, to be honest with you.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, it's and it's funny, and like I'm just like, this is kind of interesting, but whatever, so I, there was Threads, and it's just pretty much another extension of Facebook, like exactly what we need, right? Just another extension of Facebook is exactly what we asked for, and here we got it, but it seems a little more organized.
I personally enjoy it. I mean, the way that I look at it is it's Instagram's version of Twitter. That's literally what it is. The interface isn't much different. The way that you post isn't much different. The only thing that is a major difference is the amount of hashtags that you can use. You can only use one at a time, which I find to be absolutely ridiculous. You're allowing people to put like almost 200 to 250 hashtags in a regular Instagram post, but you can't allow us to use more than two hashtags or one
I
hashtag
actually didn't
on
know
a
that.
thread. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That is crazy. And it's because I've seen people, and it actually kind of makes sense too, because I've seen people post like, I want my algorithm to feed me a Fallout
Yeah.
or, ESO or something like that, or AI. And I don't know, I've never seen that work before, but now there's new algorithms that are working, so I don't.
I don't know. I don't know the Threads algorithm, bro. I'm there just trying to push my content.
But there's an agreement there. It's a lot
Yeah.
nicer. It seems a lot
It
more
is. I mean,
organized.
it's not as drama filled as what, because we all know what's going on between Blue Sky and X. So it's not like that. There's not the from what I've witnessed, there's really not a lot of like drama or anything else like that. Or I
Not
do
safe.
see a lot of
Not
like
safe.
spam accounts and stuff like that, but I mean,
A lot less not safe for work stuff in that area of the Instagram, Facebook, Meta world that's there. It's pretty cool, because once I saw it, I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. It seems interesting, a lot better, a lot more organized. But I've just been posting lyrics.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, I'm feeling a song that day. I think the last one I put was like probably like a Bring Me the Horizon one or something. I just throw in a one word lyric. I'm just like, yeah, you know, we'll just play around with that and keep it that way. And it seems to be all right. But I don't use it that much myself, man. I don't use it that much myself.
I've been trying to use Threads a little bit more often. It's just I deactivated my Twitter. There's no reason for me to have one.
It's very toxic.
It is extremely toxic.
We like Wastelands, but
not like that. No, it's I'm good.
I think the only cool thing that I enjoyed about X was seeing like very fucked up, very grotesque like shootings. I would watch like shootings,
like body cam footage. And
yeah,
shit?
Yeah, you know, things like that. It was some interesting shit, you know, and like, you know. I guess it's just the curiosity in me, but I guess that was something that allowed, and I think that was pretty cool that there was at least a space instead of having to go to like Live Leak or something like that to find something. And I gotta get out that stuff. But yeah, man. So you stream.
Yes.
We love video games.
Yes.
I know we're about to talk about, but there's gotta be, I know there's other games that you play. What are some of your favorites that you grew up with that really shaped where you are today with gaming?
So I am a race car gamer. I did a lot of racing games. So Need for Speed, Gran Turismo, Forza when I had my Xbox 360. So I did a lot of racing games. Same thing with GTA when GTA came out and they integrated the racing in what was that, San Andreas, I think it was. And I fell in love with it. I mean, the interface for it was fucking atrocious back then compared to what we're used to now. But I mean, for what it was then, you know, at least we had racing in a Grand Theft Auto game because that was the first time we saw that. But yeah, I did racing games for a while.
I didn't know that. That's cool.
I like horror games. I do a lot of like, I do like the Evil Dead game. I think it's really good. So I play a bunch of stuff. I'm all over the place.
It's interesting. You said racing games. I've found the resurgence myself for racing games. I really do enjoy. I feel like they're more. They're different than what I normally play. I used to be really big into shooters. I think you could say the same thing. Growing up, we would play anything and everything, and now we're in our 30s.
And we still play anything and everything.
Yeah, or, you know, but the most thing that we play is RPG games, role-play games. Yep. And before we get to Fallout, because I know we're going to have a really cool conversation about that, I role-play.
Yeah.
I think you're one of the very few people that understand it, next to a couple of people I know, next to Bear, Tech, shout out, even Gio, who I would love to see in this RP world, that especially on PC.
Yeah.
So what is RP? And for those who don't know what RP is, it's role play. So what is role play to you in these games, and why do you love doing it?
It's immersion, right? It's being able to submerse yourself into a world that you're trying to escape the real one from. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what it is to me. I personally enjoy doing role play because it gives me a second world that I can roam through. So dating back to my role play history, I did the GTA Motorcycle Club community.
Yes.
That was like my big first foot in the door of doing any kind of role play, and it was fun for a while. And then of course you get these guys that don't know what the fuck they're doing and you end up trying to teach them a thing or two and they don't want to hear it, and it ends up causing drama, and you know, it is what it is. But I did that shit for fucking like 7 or 8 years, man.
And now with this big hype for RP on PC, like 5M. I know you want to get on it so bad.
Oh, man, I can't wait to get my PC.
Just one part. And as you know, I think this is, I love RP. At this point, I think it's really the only thing I do now, next to, Fallout and GTA. What are some things? So, like, police, these jobs on RP. What are some things that you wish to see in GTA 6? Do you think we're going to get anything that's pulled from there, even with the acquisition?
So I have a feeling that when it comes to the story mode, we might see some of that integrated, just because it would give the level of immersion. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But when it comes to online play, we really don't know anything about that right now, so I can't really like touch on that. I would love to personally see, like, I don't know what NoPixel 4 is doing. You know what I mean? So I would like to see like different types of jobs. So anything from lawn care
Law care, yeah.
to working security at a mall or strip mall or something along those
Real
lines.
estate.
Yeah, real estate, anything like small shit. You know what I mean? Because we all want to see the cops.
We do.
So, and that's like the biggest thing for me. Like,
Uh,
I watch a lot of like cop GTA RP.
and there's so many, like, there's so many good ones,
There are.
and then, like, it sucks because there's so many bad apples in the RP police
There
force
really
that
are.
don't know what they're doing,
No.
a lot of them are real cops.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, a lot
Yeah,
of them are real
a lot of them
cops.
are real cops.
You know, and they're going in there and they're being cops and they're being like complete
But the
assholes.
way that the thing about it is because I've been watching them for a really long time, and I want to give a shout out to my two favorite, which are Bay Area Bugs and Civ Ryan. I watch them consistently. They make amazing content. So if you don't, if you ever get a chance to, go ahead and check those guys out. They're great. But the thing about it is regardless if you're a cop in the real world and you're coming into an RP setting or not, each server has its own designated codes and the way that they run their police force. You have to be understanding of what that is and how they reenact in that specific way. And if you don't have that, then you're not going to flourish. It's unfortunate, but that's the truth.
Do you think that improv could be helpful? Like, improv classes, acting classes could be
Oh yeah,
helpful.
absolutely. I think so. I mean, 'cause not everyone has, I don't mean to say this to be cocky or anything, but nobody has that natural, not everyone has that natural born talent to do something like that. You know what I mean? Like, not everyone has the natural voice to be a voiceover actor. Not everyone has
It's true.
The stature or whatever to be a bodybuilder. Like, some of the stuff that you have to either build yourself up and train yourself to do over time, and it doesn't happen overnight. So I had to learn real quickly how to utilize my voice when I got into WWE 2K community, how to utilize my voice for voice promos, and how to go about and conduct myself in a professional manner to do that. It was very difficult for me because I came from a community that was completely toxic. I didn't know how to conduct myself properly, especially being a part of a community that had so many different personalities that I didn't know them. So I was trying to come in and being like, oh, well, I'm a wrestling fan and I've been watching wrestling for so long. Like, I know bits and pieces of the business from, listening to people like Paul Heyman, to listening to people like, I actually would go to like seminars and stuff like that and learn from guys like independent guys like Chris Wilde and shit like that, and try and gain a view of what the business actually is, so that way when I came into the 2K community, I knew how to conduct myself. And I fucked up. So I learned very quickly that not everyone is going to like you, not everyone is going to enjoy the type of content that you put out.
Yeah.
But that shouldn't stop you from moving forward and doing what it is that you want to do if it makes you happy. Yeah. So.
And the 2K community, I don't want to say that I'm not a fan of them, because there are some really passionate dudes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There's some really passionate, there's some really awesome people with some really good ideas. Gabriel Gates.
Yep.
Tony Jers.
Yep.
Chris Malenko. You know, not now we got Desmond Jonah Lane, which is me, and then you have some guys, I'm not even gonna name names on this one because I don't, you know, but there's just some people who come in who don't have original ideas.
No.
You know, they want to be like this guy. They want to use a name from other wrestlers in their cause. What is your suggestion for people who don't have that type of originality or creative sense to do these 2K?
So what I used to do is, and I still do this today, just in research in general, and that's what it should start with. It should start with research. You should be able to note who your inspirations are,
yeah,
and watch your inspirations, listen to their promos, watch their matches if you're planning on doing recordings for like highlight reel matches and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Watch their matches, make sure that you get a sense on what kind of character they are, and if you wanted to add different pieces to different characters and make it your own and be unique, then you can do that. That's what I did. I spent years, almost 6 years. Damn, it's been that long already.
It's a long time.
It is, dude. A really long time.
That's a lot of time.
6 years trying to perfect my craft and trying to utilize what I had, especially when I found out about like all of these independent wrestling streaming services. I immediately fell in love. So I got a chance to watch other companies and everything else like that, and got a sense to see some of their guys and different diverse rosters and stuff. And like, oh, I can pull from him. Oh, I can pull from him. And I would do that, and I would pull different pieces from their characters, and I'll be like, okay, so here's my finished product. And that's what it should be too. It shouldn't,
I like that.
It shouldn't be doing it. It should be the journey on how to get there. That to me is what WWE 2K RP should be.
I agree. And there's so much potential in this community. Like, just as a whole, XVPW, shout out X. You know, what he does, I mean, to take the time... Oh, I forgot about that.
I completely forgot about it, too.
You know, I've never, like you are the only other person other than Max that I've actually seen edit these HLR matches.
I did and, one.
Yeah, and even then, like, you had that patience to kind of work on it at that time. But what was so interesting to me, because what I'm used to, you know, using a computer and all that stuff, that is a bitch to it do is. In a game where, and I said this to Max too, you're not just... You know, you have to get the timing right. Mm-hmm. You have to get the move, your sequence, the timing. You need to cut it right. Then you have to put the audio over it and all this stuff. So what was the most... Now, I know you love video editing. Mm-hmm. So I know once you get your computer fixed, you're going into this. But what are... You have an eye for it. But what is about video editing in HLR? What is something about it that really is the most difficult thing about editing those HLR matches?
It's not even the video part of it, to be honest with you. It's the sound.
Is it really?
Yes, it's the sound. It's doing sound editing. Sound editing can be the most tedious part of any video project. It's not even the video work. The video work to me comes like,
yeah,
I can fucking do video work. Video work, shit. What? go ahead and put any kind of video editor in front of me, and I bet you I could probably get it done within a matter of moments. Now, sound's going to take me a while.
Yeah.
Sound's going to take me days.
That's why I bought this.
So, I mean, I don't know. My The most tedious part is definitely doing sound, but the part that I absolutely enjoy the most is doing the sound, which is the part that everyone hates. Everyone hates doing sound for matches. They hate doing sound in any type of video editing format when you have to add in outside sound work, because you have to be able to make sure that you know what sound is going to go in what specific spot at one specific moment. And if you don't get that down pat, yes, like a bump. And if you don't get the bump sound down pat and it comes out and it's off, people are going to know. They're going to let you know about it.
Yeah.
So trying to work around sound editing in a video that has absolutely no sound at all, that is the part where a lot of people are like, yes, I fucking did it. Yeah. Like, when it's done.
So the last question about like the 2K community and the wrestling game, the wrestling RP community. Do you think this is a good way, especially because there's a lot of young people who are in this community, and sometimes, unfortunately, they get threatened by the older ones, and, you know, not saying any names, you know, it's kind of ridiculous.
It is.
But what was my question? It was a good one, too. Oh, wait.
Don't worry, I'm a patient man.
Yeah, it was so good. It was so good. You have a lot of younger guys in here, and now I remember. Do you think that this is a good way for younger guys who can't legally get into the wrestling business learn to work on their promos and work and get to learn by watching tape, you know, watching old matches? Do you think that this RP community is a good way to learn to be a wrestler if that's the route that they wanted to go?
So, with that, I'm going to lead with this. There are guys that have started and called that have become professional wrestlers.
Okay.
It has happened. There's one specific guy who I have been watching over the past 2 years, and I've seen him grow, and he's a great, fantastic professional wrestler now, and I see nothing but great things for him in the future, and I would like to see him flourish. I don't care if it's in AEW, I don't care if it's in TNA, I don't care if it's in Ring of Honor, or wherever. He could go to NXT tomorrow and I would be excited to see him. Yeah. His name is Robert Martyr.
Okay.
Robert Martyr started in KAW.
Really?
Yes, he did. And he built himself up, went to training school, and became a professional wrestler. It is not an outside of possibility.
That's good.
It can work. The problem with it is that this place is saturated with a bunch of people who are trying to either fill a void, which is what I did.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't train anymore. I'm too old
Same.
For that shit.
Same.
So my body can't handle it.
Motion sickness for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Motion sickness for me. It was bad. It was so bad.
I was fine. It was just as soon as I got out of the ring one day and I felt my knee.
Yep.
As soon as it twists, bro, I was like, nope, I'm good.
I should have done this 3 years ago.
Facts.
I fucked up.
So, but it can lead into that. If that's the route that you want to take and you want to go that route, then yeah, by all means, go ahead and pursue it. It's going to be a great route for you if you decide that you want to do that, if that is your passion. But that's what you need to realize is this going to be my passion? Is this something that I want to do every Absolutely. Single day? Is this something that I want to wake up and sacrifice my life for? Because that's what you're going to have to do. Being a professional wrestler isn't easy. You're going to need to sacrifice a lot of time.
And it hurts.
And a lot of people, like, your family may not see you for months out of the year because you're traveling. That's how it is.
You could die.
Yep.
You could die in ring.
Yep.
You could die on the road alone.
Yep.
It's
wild, man. Being a professional wrestler, like, it's not at the glitz and glam that you'd like to see on the WWE. Job. It is. It's a real big passion job. It's a passion-based job.
Yeah. I love it. So now we're going into another community now, the Fallout community.
Oh, man, I love this conversation.
And it's so interesting because it's so easy to talk about the fact that there's not a lot of negativity in the community except for, you know, the trappers.
Well,
You know, but I mean, I guess in the post-apocalyptic world, it would make sense.
It would make sense, but it doesn't make it any less annoying.
Yeah, and but it's a good community. Mm-hmm. It's a great community. I have now played on Xbox, PC, and now PlayStation. And I mean, look what happened yesterday.
Yep.
We were at White Spring.
Yep.
Some guy was shooting at the floor trying to get our attention, gave us a bunch of stuff.
Yep.
You know, and things like that really bring me in. I really wish that there was more RP in Fallout, though.
Yeah.
I feel like so many people have tried, and it's so hard because, one, you can only get 24 people in the lobby.
Yep.
And two, there's a lot of people that skip out on Fallout in general.
Yeah, there are.
You know, there's guys like me and you who play it day after day after day after day.
Because, I just hit level 50, man.
Yeah, you just hit level 50. I am so close to hitting 200.
Yeah.
And, you know, I played it from the beta days, and it took me... I didn't understand the game. It took me a long time to understand the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So how long did it take for you to understand it?
So...
76.
76?
Yeah.
Probably up until recently.
Yeah.
I was trying to really get a feel on the builds, and that's the part that really, like... But once I got an understanding on the perk cards and how they work, and I'm just like, okay, I get this now.
Yeah.
This is good, I get this now.
This is fun.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Which Fallout game brought you in?
Three.
Three? Me too. What's a specific moment from three that really sticks to your head?
Say you see in Rivet City.
Rivet City. Yeah, when you find your father.
Yeah, for the first time.
Yeah. Good old Liam Neeson.
Yep.
I think Rivet City. I always forget about Rivet City, and I don't know why I always forget about Rivet City, but Rivet City was one of those cities that like kind of deserves like a spin-off TV show.
Well, then here's, and to piggyback off of that, because it has such a mystique to its lore.
Yes.
Like, we know how Rivet City was built and managed and everything else like that, but, like, do we really know? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because everything, as we know with Bethesda, they leave everything in limbo. So.
And sometimes they let the fans really come up with their own canon and keep to it. And I think that's special, too. I think that's really special when it comes to Bethesda, too. I mean, they've created different worlds, you know, but our favorite world. You know, for me, a lot of people think it's Starfield. I love Starfield, but it's not my favorite Bethesda world. It's the Wasteland.
Yeah.
You could pet cats.
Yep.
You could eat mac and cheese.
Yep.
You could hunt animals. You could milk cows. You could build a fucking house.
Yep.
You know, and that's something too, because you could do that in Fallout 3.
You could be a cannibal if you want.
You could be a cannibal. You could be a scorch like Gates.
Yeah. Well, he built a ghoul flat out with the character creation thing, which it actually came out looking pretty mint. You got to see the finished product, bro. It looks really good.
It's almost like, so I remember first playing Fallout 3. Get out the vault, you go to Megaton.
Yep.
And I remember going to Moriarty's and seeing that ghoul there.
Yes.
And I'm thinking in my head, like, this is going to be the wildest game I've ever played.
Yeah.
But funny story, I don't know if I've ever told you this before. The reason why I started playing Fallout was because I thought Fallout 3 was Killzone.
Oh, because of the cover.
The cover, yes. The cover was very... I felt like the masks, the helmets, looked the power kinda armor similar, helmet looked kind of similar. I was a huge Killzone fan, too. Yeah. I've never played an RPG other than Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
And I played Fallout 3, and I was just like, what the fuck? This isn't Killzone.
Yeah.
What the hell am I playing? and for me, I remember going to, like, the Lincoln Memorial, the Washington Monument. Yep. The White House is non-existent in that game.
No, it is not.
And I'm just thinking to myself, like, this is a really cool game.
Yeah.
And I didn't, you know, I finished it, you know, Liberty Prime, woo-woo. Yep. And I kind of just forgot about it for a while, and then Fallout 4 came out.
Yeah.
And that game just pushed the boundary. And I'm curious to know, what was your storyline? What's your Fallout lore? How did you play the game?
Oh, man. So, the way that I want to go in New Vegas, because I played the majority of my hours in any Fallout game is New Vegas. So, I played New Vegas two different types of ways, but my favorite way was definitely the shotgun build that I made. And I wasn't a dick, but I definitely stood my ground.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, any kind of speech check or anything else like that.
Kind of like your morale was right in the middle.
And I would help. Didn't have a problem helping. But you ain't going to walk all over me and you're going to pay me for the right price. You know what I mean? I'm not the type of, I played it as I'm not the type of guy that's going to sit there and allow someone to walk all over me. Pay me my shit and let me go about my business.
Yeah.
You pay for a courier, let me be a courier. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah.
So, but no. New Vegas for me, it in my opinion, was the best out of all of them. It had the best story.
A lot of people would agree with you. A lot of people.
It did. It had the best story. I really enjoyed the NCR because I...
It's such a good story.
Great story for the NCR, man. The New California Republic. And the thing about it is I missed, because I was playing World of Warcraft, I missed Fallout 1 and 2. I did not get a chance to play 1 and 2.
I played them late.
So playing New Vegas and getting that history, because they recycled a lot of history from 1 and 2 into New Vegas.
Well, it's right there. It's at the West Coast.
Yep. And you get to learn all of it. And I'm just like, yeah, give me that. That's what I want to know. So, but yeah, New Vegas was definitely my one. I did play 4. I didn't beat 4. But I did play 4. Yeah. I got all the way up into where you find out who Sean actually is.
Yeah, I would suggest, if you don't want to, there's going to be days that maybe one day you don't want to play 76, and you, if you have space on your PlayStation, because fucking these damn games take so much space.
They do.
Apparently, I've learned that real quick on console again, and I'm just like, holy shit, this sucks.
Get an external hard drive, man. I got mine.
Yeah, that's my next step, man. And I highly suggest like playing Fallout 4 with the mods that are available. It is so fun.
I need an unlimited ammo mod and unlimited health mod.
Oh, that's the cheat terminal. Got you. they have a whole cheat terminal available that's in your Pit Boy. It's a holo tape. You just put it in. You get items and stuff like that.
Oh, fuck yeah, man.
Yeah, one of my favorite mods that fit my best gameplay that I've ever played on Fallout 4 was my Star Wars playthrough where I had. So my favorite playthrough was that I had lightsabers, Jedi robes, and the Institute were stormtroopers.
Okay.
It was such a cool mod. But, you know, there's other mods available, so fun ones. You have your cheat terminal, but what I'd like to do, because like you said, immersion.
Yep.
First thing I did was change the Minutemen uniform.
Of course you did. Of course you did.
You know, made them a little bit cooler and stuff like that. But yeah, you know, Fallout's great. But the last thing about Fallout that I want to ask is we have to talk about the show real quick.
Yes.
You know, we could break it down right here. You know, some of the things that we really stick out the top of my head. And the first thing for me is when the Vault Dweller comes out and there's the scene in the beginning of the trailer where the hay ball is coming to her, she gets scared.
Yeah.
And the voiceover is saying vault dwellers are nearly extinct.
Yeah.
And I thought that was very interesting to me because we're 219 years after the bombs dropped and this vault is still closed.
Right.
Why?
I see, and that's this is the thing with Fallout that always gets me. Especially with Vault-Tec and their fucking crazy ass experiments. We don't know. Like that's just what it comes down to. We don't know. This
219 years is a long time for a vault to be closed.
This vault that we're getting is a brand new vault.
Yeah.
Like we don't know anything about this vault. This vault has never been set in any kind of video game. It hasn't been set in any kind of lore. It hasn't been canon until now.
Until now. And thank God.
And it's Vault 33. This vault looks interesting. Yeah. Because from the trailer, there is a scene where everything in the vault erupts in fucking chaos.
Yeah.
And we're sitting there like, wait a minute. Is this a part of the experiment?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because we know Vault-Tec is known for that.
I almost kind of feel like that's when Lucy escapes.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
I think that's the moment. I mean, who would want to stay?
Yeah.
Open up that damn vault. Get me out of here.
Get me out. Yep, exactly. Or maybe she knows something before it happens and she gets out.
Yeah, that's interesting too. And I mean, we saw in the trailer too that there's a guy on the floor as she's getting out. Yep. Like, is he dead? Did she knock him out? Did she take his pit boy?
Yep.
Because the only way to get out of a vault is how, Dabs?
You have to have a pit boy.
You gotta have a pit boy. If you don't have a pit boy, you ain't getting out.
Nope. Because you need the pit boy in order to hook up to the interface.
Yeah, everything looks great. Yagwai.
Oh, dude, the Yagwai looks fantastic.
The red roaches. Yo, we're gonna.
I want to know what that fucking axolotl looking creature is.
Yeah, that's new.
It is a new creature.
To me, it kind of looks like a gulper. It has the shape of a gulper, but the gulpers that we're familiar with are 219 years in the past.
Yes.
In 76.
Yep.
So it's like, well, where are we now with this?
Yep.
But the biggest question that people are talking about is the NCR.
Mm-hmm.
I have a theory.
Okay, what's your theory?
So there's a scene where there is a vault, when Lucy's in the vault and she's talking to a vault, an overseer with one eye.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Now, we've seen the overseer of 33. It's her father.
It's her dad, yep.
That's not her father.
No.
You know, so I think that the NCR got themselves inside of a vault, a vault that was willing to open up and work with these people, and I think we're gonna get a really dope vault story between them and the NCR, because there are photos of NCR flags inside of a vault from leaked photos from the show.
Okay.
So I really think that the NCR has governmentized themselves. I think things are good. I think the war is over. I mean, look at the presence of the Brotherhood of Steel.
Yeah, it looks like that they're struggling to continue to be existent. That's at least what it looks like in the trailer.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. We only see very small remnants, but April, we're not going to know shit until April.
I'm hoping that we find out something with another trailer sooner than that.
I think so. April, I think we're going to get probably something March,
yeah,
February.
That's what I would like to think too.
February. And then March. We got Shenandoah coming to 76.
Yep.
New factions, free states. Please, we need more free states.
Yep.
I need to complete my build. And but yeah, man, before we go into the next topic, what is your favorite thing about 76 right now? What do you think is the best thing about Fallout 76?
So, like I said, I just hit level 50. So trying to figure out these legendary perk cards are going to be an interesting journey for me. But I would have to say, since I beat all the main story missions, the events have really been keeping me busy.
Giving you XP.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them are really fun to do. Some of them not so fun.
Yeah, some of them are glitchy. They intend to glitch out on certain parts.
There's so much memory data going through, and like Eviction Notice, the one with all the super mutants.
Yep.
My PC crashes half the time when I do that one. Burn Notice, when you have to. But
I got blue screened on Burn Notice.
Yeah, Burn Notice. Burn Notice is a heavy one. A couple of the Nuka Cola on tour ones are pretty intense too.
Yeah, some of them can be.
You know, and it's just so much memory. And it's just like the game is so good. And like, you know, Todd Howard says get a better computer. Well, what the fuck, Todd? Can you buy it for me?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
You know, like the whole Starfield debacle. But you know, but the last thing I wanted to talk about is podcasting. Mm-hmm. You're in this world now. We have talked about it. We started Lost in the Fuck.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, and then we were just like, let's do bong rips and video games.
Yeah.
You know, and Lost in the Fuck, we just start doing content with that soon. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It kind of just, everything happened. There was such a good crew. But I want to say that what is so cool is that you have been so easy to work with. because this is something that, I mean, you talk well. This whole interview, you've been talking really well. You have an answer for everything, and it works. So is this a world that you could see yourself in for the rest of your life? Like, were you a fan of radio? Is this, you know, what do you like about podcasting?
So obviously I grew up on the East Coast.
Yeah.
I'm a Delaware kid.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I listened to, back in the day, it was Y100.
Okay.
It was a Philadelphia rock station.
Nice.
They
don't exist no more?
Well, now they are, I think it's still The Beat, which is now a hip-hop R&B station.
Okay.
So the radio crew that I used to listen to was Preston and Steve, and they had their own morning show, and I would listen to them every morning. They moved to, which they are still at, 93.3 WMMR, which is a Philadelphia rock station.
Yeah. Nice.
So I did listen to them every morning. I was like, man, I could do that, you know? And I was like, I don't know how to get involved in that, but I could definitely do it. So I found out that my high school had a radio AV department.
Oh, nice.
And they had their own radio station. They covered the sports and they did music and everything else like that for the school. But I couldn't get involved in that because my extracurriculars were already taken up. I was doing soccer.
Oh, shit. Sports always fucks it up for guys like us, man.
It does, man. But so I just never got a chance to get involved in that. So when I had met Gio, which a lot of respect and huge shout out to him, because if it wasn't for him,
King Kobalis.
He wouldn't have made this possible for me. Once I met him and we started chopping it up and became friends, and then he introduced me to you.
Yeah.
That's when I was like, you know, we could definitely do something
and make it work. We have such a good crew right now.
We do.
Man. It's so nice to know that, especially like we're local.
Yes.
Like the fact that we're sitting in front of each other.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's passion. It's what we like to do. And I think the one thing that we all have in common, we like to fucking flap our gums.
Yes, we do.
You know, and we always have something to talk about. And that's the beauty of this. And it's nice to have you in this world, you know, because some people can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Some people can't, you know, and you can do it. And, you know, on the topic of radio, to end this show, we need top five bands.
As of right now?
Yeah. It doesn't have to be like your favorite bands of all time. Because I know people, the times are changing with music.
Right.
Times are changing. People change up their list. Lots of new bands coming out. So who are you listening to right now?
So I'm listening to Bad Omens.
Fuck yeah.
Listening to Sleep Token.
Fuck yeah.
A Day to Remember.
Fuck yeah.
Let's see. I like to go a little bit old school with my stuff, so I have been listening to a lot of ska, so a lot of Less Than Jake. Let me see.
Do you find yourself, like, when you're listening to old music, do you find yourself saying to yourself, like, not you know, like, I'm not bored, but I wish I had something new to listen to?
I feel I wish I had something new from this band to listen to.
Yeah, yes.
You know what I mean? Where I'm listening to guys like Chevelle, and guys like Slipknot, which I know that Slipknot's coming out with new music and that's perfectly fine, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
But I do, and I'm like, man, I wish I had newer music, but of the same sound. Because if I don't have, because if I'm attracted to a specific band by the way that they sound, that's the way that I would like to hear them.
Agreed.
That's just how I feel about it.
I kind of feel like that with Bad Omens right now.
Yeah.
You know, I want them to stick with this sound and evolve
this,
it.
This dark trap R&B rock thing that they're doing.
Someone called it, cum metal.
Yes. Yes.
That someone
that
called
shit
the coach.
That shit had me rolling, bro.
Yeah, so yeah, Nick Nocturnal. I think it was him. It was him or Metal Burb. I forgot who it was.
It was, I think it was Metal Burb that shared.
He shared the video. It. Yeah.
But yeah, there was this dude that was on a podcast, and they were trying to come up with a name for the genre that everyone includes Spirit Box, Bad Omen, Sleep Token. Who else would be a part of that? Fucking Health would technically, I guess, be
Health.
A part of that.
I really enjoy Health too.
But they were like, well, what should we call this? And the dude had said, Cum Metal.
Oh, it was the
like,
dude from Health.
Yes.
It was, yeah, it was John from Health. That's right. That was the clip. Yep. And it was a Metal Burb interview. That's right. Yep. And it was like, I don't know, Cum Metal?
Cum Metal? And I was like, wow, really? Is that what we're going to go with
it,
right now?
It almost sounds right. Maybe just for Bad Omens.
I would say more for Sleep Token.
Sleep Token, yeah. Yeah. It's because not a lot of bands are doing 8-minute songs. You know, I mean, we know Tesseract does it. Dream Theater, don't even get me started with 21-minute tracks.
Yeah, I know. Right?
You know, but what do you think an 8-minute track is too much, dude? Or do you think if it's...
Not if the story's there.
Ooh, yeah.
If the story of the song would fit 8 minutes, then yeah, fuck it. Let it play 8 minutes.
Fuck it, right?
Fuck it.
That's what was that? Is it The Summoning?
Take Me Back to Eden.
Take Me Back to Eden, where it has like the jazzy bass in it. Yeah, there we go. There's a lot of people who try to cover that song and they can't do it.
You can't cover that man's voice. No. You can't do it.
Yeah, it's amazing. Are there any specific tours or any bands that you would like to see go on tour this year that you're hoping to see?
So I would definitely like to see A Day to Remember go back on tour again, just so that way I can see them one last time before they decide to come out with their last album.
Yeah, it's coming.
Because I know that it's going to be coming within the next 4 or 5 years. I can see them putting out another, like, 3 albums before that happens.
Yeah.
I would love to see Pierce the Veil come out with new music, so that way I can see them on tour. They're one of my favorite bands from when I was growing up. I would prefer to see Slipknot live.
Who doesn't want to see Slipknot
live,
though?
But on the other flip side of that coin, I would like to see them tour with some new metal bands from the 2000s and give us like a nostalgia tour.
We all know they're going to take on tour
like,
Vended one day.
Like, I want to see Mudvayne.
I've seen Mudvayne a few times. They play a great show.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
And I saw them in their prime.
Yeah, like, I bet you did.
I saw them LD50 days.
Oh,
like,
so
it was
big
like
era.
It was early. Yeah. I didn't see them any time after that again. Yeah, that was a crazy time. That whole new metal era was
the early 2000s was
so
great
good.
For music, man.
Yeah. So, you know, so to top it off, we can't not we have Dabs has to take a dab.
Yes.
And I'm going to take one with him.
Word.
So we're going to fire it up right now. All right.
To the point where I wish that we had video for this.
I know. That is coming soon. That is coming soon. I mean, stay tuned. Here, hang on to that.
I will.
I'll heat you.
That's a glob, boy.
Yeah, enjoy. This is what we do on Clean and Friends. You know, just like on BRVG. You want me to heat you up?
Yeah, go ahead.
Get this fucking thing too.
I think we're good.
And there he goes. There he fucking goes. Get anything?
A little bit. It didn't really come off. I feel like...
Let's try it again.
It wasn't hot enough. Keep that on there for a minute.
Yep.
This gotta get hot. And then I'll just hold the motherfucker.
Oh,
I don't care.
Shit.
All right, let's see.
shit, there he goes.
That thing is dangerous.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Clean and Friends. Dabs, tell them where to find you, man.
Let me catch my breath. Damn. All right, so your best bet is to actually look up my link tree. So it would be whatever the fucking linktree.com/strangedabsgaming. You can find all of my links there. My Twitch is there. My Instagram, my Threads, my YouTube, all of that's on my link tree.
Beautiful, beautiful, man. Well, thank, dude, I appreciate you being here. This was an awesome weekend to have you here. We're going to do it again.
Hell yeah.
Guys, make sure you check out Bong Rips and Video Games, where we could catch us both, and you could... Listen, Dabs is the reaction guy that when something goes down, you look right at him, because this is the guy that happened. But Bong Rips and Video Games, Strange Dab Gaming, thank you so much, my brother.
Not a problem, brother.
Until next time.
Later.